Good evening, friends, and welcome to SearchVB.com's podcasts, Atlas, Ajax, Microsoft, and more. I am Jack Vaughn for SearchVB.com, and I'm joined by Brian Eastwood. We also have with us today SearchVB.com columnist Mike Gunderloy. Brian, what is new with Microsoft Atlas? Some of these technology trends happen so quickly that I'm sure someone out there may be wondering, what is it?
Well, Jack, it's funny you asked because that's exactly what Mike is going to be talking to us about today. For you folks to know, Mike Gunderloy is the senior technology partner at Adaptive Strategy, which is a consultant firm based in Washington State. He's also a frequent contributor to our website. Some of the issues he's written about recently include issue tracking, the web application type known as the mashup, and the ability to develop applications for Origami, which is Microsoft's little handheld PC. And today, as we said, we're going to be chatting with Mike about Atlas. Atlas is Microsoft's tool for deploying Ajax and ASP.NET applications. It's meant to take a lot of the JavaScript out of this for the .NET folks. Mike has been playing around with it, and he's agreed to join us today to give us his insight on this technology. How are you doing today, Mike?
Hey, Brian. Doing pretty good.
It's good. First of all, thanks for your time today. I know you've got a lot on your plate, so we'll just get started. Last month, you wrote an article on SearchVB, and you're sort of cautioning developers about jumping into Atlas right away. And I was just wondering if you could tell us why you sort of took this stance and why you think it's good for developers to kind of take a cautious approach when using Atlas.
Well, let's hit the kind of bullet list of why I think ASP.NET developers in particular need to be a little cautious about rushing in on Atlas. There's a couple of things to be aware of. First, Atlas is not yet out. You can tell in part because it still has this nice sexy code name attached to it. Presumably when they release it, it's going to be something like the Microsoft ASP.NET Client JavaScript Programming Framework or some other boring marketing name instead of Atlas.
Exactly.
So whatever you do now, you have to keep in mind that some things will probably change between now and release. If you build a site using Atlas, you may well have to go back in and rebuild it when Microsoft puts the final release bits out. So you're taking on a little extra work in return for being on the cutting edge.
Okay.
That's always an issue when you're dealing with pre-release software. Another issue for a lot of ASP.NET developers is people have come in with VB backgrounds or built up a C# language knowledge, and they may not be JavaScript experts. You're looking at something here that's got half a megabyte of JavaScript in it, and if you're not a JavaScript pro, you've got to ask yourself, what do I do if I hit a bug in it? Do I really know enough to debug through it? Am I okay having this black box in my application? And the other thing to be aware of is that because you're getting outside of the box that Microsoft owns when you put Atlas into your application, you've got some compatibility issues.
Okay.
And those come in two flavors. First, not everyone uses the same browser. Much as Microsoft would like everyone to use the same browser, presumably Internet Explorer. Atlas works great in IE, obviously, and it works pretty good in Firefox these days because Microsoft has built a compatibility layer on top of Firefox. But the architecture they're developing pretty much requires them to build a compatibility layer for any browser that it's going to target, which means that the experience you get right now in, say, Apple Safari is not great, Opera is not great. And, you know, if you're dealing with some browser with an even smaller market share than that, you're probably not going to get any Atlas effects at all. So you have to ask yourself, what can you do in your site for the people who come in with that 1% or 2% or 5% of browsers? Do you program an alternate version of your features? Do you just tell people, go download a different browser, which is probably not going to fly in this day and age?
Exactly, yeah.
And the other compatibility issue is that the Atlas JavaScript is quite complex, and it overloads some of the very basic document objects in JavaScript, which means it can break other JavaScript libraries, particularly if you're just a user of JavaScript, if you put on some third-party calendar control or validation control. or DHTML effect that uses JavaScript onto your ASP.NET pages and just picked up a library from somewhere, you might suddenly discover when you put Atlas on your site that you've broken something that you didn't even know about.
That's the last thing you would want.
So you may have a choice between I use Atlas and all Microsoft bits, or I use these other things that I've already come to depend on. So it really is going to boil down to go into this cautiously, test your site to make sure you're not breaking something else, and think through the deployment issues. Is it really right for you? That all said, the things it does are really sexy. Mm-hmm. You can get very nice things like confirmation dialogues that are tough to get in ASP.NET all by itself.
Okay.
You can get much better responsiveness from applications because you're not making all those round trips to the server. And so there's a lot to be said for the technology.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that insight a lot. That's helpful for us as well as for all of our listeners out there. So where do you see sort of Atlas, along with all the other Ajax tools out there? I mean, I just read seeing some blogs that it seems like a new tool has been out every week since we first heard the term Ajax. What's your sense of, where Atlas may stand there? What's your impression of some of the other tools that are out there?
Well, so Atlas, of course, has one big thing going for it, and that is that it has the 800-pound gorilla behind it. There's a lot to be said for Microsoft support, particularly when you realize that Microsoft basically invented Ajax.
Yeah, that's right.
They brought it out in Outlook Web Access mm-hmm. 15 years ago.
Didn't have the sexy name, though.
Yeah, and they're not shy about saying we invented the technology. Of course, that's somewhat disingenuous, since I doubt that anybody who was involved with Outlook Web Access is actually on the Atlas team. It's a huge company, and it's very decentralized. But still, they have a lot of resources to throw at this. They have a lot of experience building web applications. And there's a lot more in Atlas than there is in some of the other libraries. The basic Ajax idea is simply that you can do a lot of things on the client by writing JavaScript, mm-hmm. and that you can avoid doing whole server refreshes by sending little bits of XML back and forth. And Atlas certainly has those two things in it, but they've also made a real effort to build an object-oriented API in JavaScript.
Mm-hmm.
They have done the cross-browser work, at least for the top-of-the-market browsers. They have built in things like a web services library on the client in JavaScript, which is not trivial to build.
Oh, okay.
So there's more in Atlas than there is in a lot of these other libraries. They've built some integrated Visual Studio tools, which is nice if you're a Visual Studio user. At the same time, there's really a not invented here attitude where Microsoft doesn't care too much about what other libraries are doing.
Mm, that's true.
You buy into Atlas, you're buying into Atlas and nothing else. I think what we're going to see ultimately is that we're going to see kind of a two-stage adoption. First, people are going to go out and throw this at every darn thing they can think of just because it's there, Microsoft is shipping it, and it looks great.
Mm-hmm.
And we are going to see some sites that overuse Atlas, just like we've seen every other new sexy technology overused. Ultimately, I think where we will end up is the saner developers will look and say, is this technique necessary and useful for my client?
Okay.
And rather than focusing on, do I need Atlas, it's going to be, can I really benefit from a collapsing panel in this user interface? Can I really benefit from a confirmation dialogue? And that's the important thing. Once you've answered that question, then you go on to say, is Atlas the right library to implement that?
Okay. Well, as I said, thanks again for your time today, Mike. I really appreciate that. Those of you who are listening, you can check out more from Mike on our website, searchvb.com. And you can also visit Mike's blog, which he updates daily, which is at larkware.com. That's LARKWARE.com. As I said, thanks again, Mike. We really appreciate your input, and we look forward to reading more from you on SearchVB.
Thanks, Brian. I appreciate the opportunity to chat with you.
All righty. Thank you. All right. And now I'm going to turn it over to Jack Vaughn, who's going to provide his thoughts on recent news in the .NET development space.
Well, thank you, Brian. Thank you, Mike. Let's look a little at the news on Microsoft of late and even offer a commentary. In early May, the company denied reports of further Windows Vista delays. Gartner says they don't think it's going to come out on the schedule of Q1 2007. The just-discussed Atlas UE Builder appeared in the form of an April community technology preview, but it is a primarily a bug fix and offers no new functionality. Microsoft and SAP renamed their joint Mendocino project as Duet 1.0. This is a means of connecting SAP processes with Microsoft Office products. Microsoft also revealed Windows Live Experimentation Platform. It lets developers on the emerging Windows Live platform test services before rolling them out. And Microsoft said it would continue to offer free Express editions of Visual Studio for hobbyists and students. That includes Visual Basic, Express. Finally, by this editor's estimation, the big story last month was really not with Microsoft, but with Sun Microsystems. Scott McNeely, company founder and professional thorn in Microsoft's side, said he would step down as CEO while retaining the title of chairman. McNeely was a true technology entrepreneur, and he surrounded himself with true technology visionaries. McNeely oversaw pivotal efforts in commercializing workstations, mid-range servers, Java, Unix, Ethernet, and the Internet. He was also a noted hockey fan. Jonathan Schwartz will replace McNeely as CEO. Commentary. McNeely was also the consummate wise guy. His jokes in conference, keynote after keynote, were at Microsoft's expense. Yes, he got off a few good zingers. He got more mileage out of the Windows blue screen of death than many comedians ever got out of their mother-in-laws. But the jokes turned sour as Microsoft continued to thrive, and Sun sputtered. In 1988, Sun revenues were at $1 billion when Microsoft's revenues were still under $500 million. Sun did not capitalize on Java, it toyed with Star Office, and it finally got bowled over by Linux. Today, Microsoft's revenue is four times Sun's. Maybe McNeely was laughing just to keep from crying. At least he moderated his tone over the last couple of years after settling Sun's Java disputes with Microsoft a few years ago. Then Microsoft paid $900 million to resolve patent issues and $700 million to settle antitrust issues. As they say in hockey, score! That's it for now from your friends at SearchVB.com. I'm Jack Vaughn.
And I'm Brian Eastwood.
And we're thanking again Mike Underloy, and we all are wishing you well.